Hi, this is Russ, and this is Satanism 101. We are in session number six, and let me encourage you again to keep your prayers up and just be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's the word of God. That's the warning. And it came through the Spirit of God guided that writing through Peter, and he understands. Peter was the one when Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you." Now, Satan likes to stuff, he likes to attack growing believers. I also believe that if we get into his territory where he has a bigger foothold, that he does like to attack and fight, and we end up dealing with people that have demons and have, demonic legalities and the laws of engagement. So that's all. The good news is, don't walk into it with fear. Walk into it with a faith that says, "Hey, not only is God with me, am I learning also to have the armor of God on, and I appropriate the authority of Christ, but like Acts 9:22, I will grow more and more powerful." And God will cause you to grow more and more powerful. And I think that's very important for us to realize, like in 1 John 4, greater is the one who is in you than the one who's in the world. 1 John 5, that the Lord Jesus himself will protect us from the evil one. Now, when you deal with individuals and people and so forth like that, you will obviously, if they have spirits, there can be attack. So please understand that when we do these courses, one of the reasons why we try to encourage in the very beginning for you to know the authority of Christ and things like that. Matter of fact, I may add into this course, if you haven't already gone to the Shatter site or to the preemptionbroadcast.com site under spiritual warfare, there is a study called the 5 A's of spiritual warfare, and it does deal with being alert, action, armor, authority, and so forth, for you to have that. So I want to encourage you, because a lot of the classes that we've done in the past, and their students that end up dropping out because warfare will come. Anytime a believer makes a commitment to grow in the Lord, to step up and be counted, and to go out and begin to bear fruit, well, of course the enemy, if he can beat you down while you're young, then and keep you from ever wanting to, step out. And I've seen that happen in the lives of believers. Good news is that. And again, God has given us everything. His divine power has given us everything for not only our life, but our devotion to Him and our studies. So again, may the Lord keep you and strengthen you and bless you, and may His power, the authority of the Lord Jesus, really be evident in your life. And I really do. I pray that God will give you great experience, great courage. I pray as Peter did in Acts chapter 4 for boldness for you and for me, more boldness, which means again the Spirit of God liberating us with a courage that cannot be put out. And I want to encourage you in that when you're walking with the Lord, and I think that as you read even in the book of Philippians, simply where it tells you that you and I as believers, we're like luminaries, like shining stars in a darkened universe. And that's how it's going to be as God may use you in the office, in your apartment complex, in your neighborhood, on the streets, maybe even in a targeted ministry towards young Satanists or whatever, in reaching out to them. Because I think sometimes when people see young-looking Satanists and dabblers, the ones that wear all the symbols and all that, that they're afraid to even talk to them. And sometimes even Christian students are afraid to even go talk to them. But when believers who are completely committed to Christ, stepping out in obedience to the Word of God, that'll make you stronger and stronger and stronger, and experienced in the fullness of the Spirit, you're going to become unstoppable and fearless. You really will. But that will include witnessing adventures and sharing and people that might be Satanists, whatever, and then beginning to deal with them and realizing that Jesus died for them, that he wants them. And it motivates me because I hate to see the enemy have any kinds of access in their lives and use their lives as far as even in doing and spreading even more evil. So I want to encourage you just to, again, stay prayed up, stay strong in the Lord, and we want to encourage you to that if you do miss sessions or set it aside for a while, or you feel like you're running into warfare, that means one thing. Beef up all that God has taught you to do. With by the authority of Christ, rebuke the dark presence around you. Clear the air. And make sure the armor of God is on so you stand in the full presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And be obedient to the Word. And stay in the Word and stay in fellowship with the Lord and so forth. And to have other believers pray for you. Write me a note if you need to write me a note and tell me how it's been going and what you've been facing. And I pray that students like you taking a course like this one or confronting the powers or the Black Awakening, I assume that God's going to use the materials as you engage or as He leads to you providentially people who are involved in satanic practices on whatever level. So that I really do, and that shouldn't be a scary thing. The good news is that Satanists, in whatever level they're at, can be saved, and it's a good thing to see them come out. So just continue to remember the Philip Factor, the second generation Christian who, at the persecution of the church, the first martyr Stephen, Saul of Tarsus, wasn't a Satanist, but gosh, he's worse than most that I know as far as actual harm. And he was breathing out murderous threats and going after the Christians. And yet Philip wouldn't stop. Philip continued. And by, listen, no matter what occurs, if you stand in faith, if you stay in obedience, you will not lose ground. No matter how hard it is, you will not regret it. So push the perseverance and endurance to the max and then hold up everything. And as pressures go away, and as God grants you sweeter victories, then you will realize that you are stronger, broader, and spiritually taller than you've ever been. Well, let's take a look on your notes. I'm going to go again by the notes, and we are looking at page 15. We're dealing with self-styled or independent Satanists. And again, we've engaged a number of them over the years, and we have found, again, a uniqueness in them. If you think in terms of the lightest level of Satanists, dabblers, you move to the next section, self-styled, but from there you people can move into the traditional levels, the Church of Satan popular levels, and out of all of that, in some cases, can come psycho-Satanism. And so I think that there's a little bit of bleed in concerning all. If you think in terms of this kind of Satanism, different denominations in Christianity, well, there's really different groups and denominational kind of structures within Satanism. So to know them and to know a little bit about them gives you kind of a wisdom to be able to begin to minister to them. And so when I go over some of these characteristics, it comes from not just reading books that I'm, and I suggest the books. Again, this is a 101 course, but if you want to read more and really get a bigger bird's eye view, and again, let God use the content because you're going to go into ministry, wanting to reach out to the hundreds of thousands, Europe, UK, and United States, Australia, Canada, you're talking millions that are now involved in some level of this. And by the way, the training, will still be good for dealing with anybody, new agers and so forth too. But to have a little bit of insight, and you'll be able maybe to recognize self-styled Satanists. Now I'm going to go over some descriptions. Now let me first of all mention right away the Black Pagan. Now when I say that, if you go to the shadowthedarkness.net website, you'll look to the left, you'll see a little picture of a little sweet girl, and this is Jackie Cooper. And years ago, I just by the providence of God, I met the mom and dad, and she has a twin sister, and we brought them to church. We're ministering to them, and ultimately, they just basically all took off. Bottom line was that the dad took off one way, the mother took off another way, the mother involved herself with another guy. He ended up, possibly with her help, but anyway, ritually abusing the child, ritualistically, and then killing the child. He's now in jail. Now, this is, again, a child that I had in my car, that I held, that I went over to see them and pray for that family. You know, we are pulling them out of the world of Wicca and drugs and paganism and the trimmings of dabbler Satanism. The difficulty is that when the mother took off with the kids, she ended up with another guy. He himself, in the Akron Beacon Journal newspaper, called himself a black pagan. In other words, he's kind of a self-styled, he just getting whatever material he could and beginning to use those materials and develop those things, but then he began to use them because he wanted power. And he crossed the line from the self-styled Satanist to kind of to the edge of psycho-Satanist, and obviously he took a life. And to us, the story's not even over. We still think there were others involved, and we also know that her little sister still lives, and we've kept her in prayer over the years. But the man that's in prison right now, serving time right now, he would have been, at the time that all this occurred, more like a self-styled Satanist. And you'll see some of the characteristics as we go along. If you go to the websites, again, you're going to find, you know, just if you Google Satanism, again, pray over it, because whether you know this or not, many real satanic individuals and groups, they try to, you know, put demon, you know, whether you believe they can or not, they want to believe, they put demons on their sites and on their symbols and things. They want to affect people. Some of them are serious enough to want to affect Christians. So what? You have the authority of Christ. You have the God, the Holy Spirit. There's no equality here. As long as you are the witness warrior, as long as you're, you know, going to keep the prayers up, exercise the authority of Christ, and live in the armor, then you're going to be fine. And that does mean you're a person of action, and you're pushing forward, and you're willfully obeying God and putting into practice the Word of God. And because of that, you'll become more experiential. But I mentioned this guy first. You would assume, and this guy I met, and I wish it could have been different back in those days, in that, you know, of course, I believe that God gave the family a chance, but they took the wrong road, and a little baby girl suffered terribly under torture and ritualistic abuse and things like that. And eventually was killed. And I dealt with the biological father and much of what was going on during this time, and it was really bad. So anyway, self-styled can turn into, again, there's danger there too. Not all self-styled and not all dabblers and so forth ever, you know, do that kind of harm, but this one ended up... and that's because I think sometimes some who are self-styled, they get into these practices, they even break the laws, per se, of the use of rituals, they're not precise, things like that. They're eclectic, they'll use whatever materials for their own purposes, as we'll see. Well, if you look for on the websites and things like that, you'll find a guy, Ballantyne, also Rex Church, and a number of others out there. I mentioned those two because we're familiar with them, and in an overt way, they are Satanists, but they're also their own kind of Satanists. They've taken material and redeveloped things, and they do have some followers, and especially the other fella, Rex Church, can be, damaging to people because he looks for victims of satanic ritual abuse to bring them in. So he's even more than just self-styled. He also has some very dangerous elements. Now, the story of Mike Warnke is a big one and controversial. I met Mike Warnke years and years and years ago in our area. Mike Warnke was in, and we met and we watched him do what he does. And I will say that he shared Christ and many people got saved. I will also say that many questions came up. And I read his material, and you can read his material, and he's got a couple of books that were out. He was really well known as a kind of a Christian comedian coming out of Satanism. Others have really challenged whether it was heavy-duty Satanism or if he fabricated some of it or not. He eventually, though, also ran into the money issues, the problem of money and whatever, and stumbled out of major ministry. And, of course, I'm not going to go into everything, but I was also warned by the friend that we had back in those days in the end of the 80s, early 90s, Tom Wedge. And so I think that he's, to study Mike Warnke, to take a look at his life and realize that even his material, he has some good stuff, but there is controversy there. And so I want to encourage you. But as I read the story of Mike, I see, again, a self-styled Satanist that carried that over into going into the military and being even a violent person back in those days, as he shares his own story. Now, I want to also mention that satanic rock bands can be self-styled. Many of them just pick up symbols here and there. We used to do a lot of study in the 80s over all the album covers, CD covers, all the symbols, which groups did more. Now, we'll have a one-hour session with resources on satanic rock coming up for this course. But I want to tell you now that there's rock musicians that are really into, that are real traditional Satanists. Some that come out of the ancient brotherhood, like Marilyn Manson, who definitely is demonized. And when I was a police chaplain, I was brought in to be 5 feet away from him backstage and to observe him and also Slayer and Danzig and a number of other groups that would have had Nine Inch Nails, other groups back in those days that were very, very popular, but also had the elements of Satanic Dabbler, Satanic Self-Styled, Satanic Traditional Satanism, Church of Satan Anton LaVey style, and even some of the more serious Luciferian direct worshipers wanting the power to advance their cause, and in some cases being used by Satan to advance Satanism. Like Marilyn Manson. If you've read his book, I didn't read it. I picked it up at a Borders, and there I went through it. I didn't want to purchase it, but I did read through it. And you'll see what he has to say, and you'll see websites that has him promoting Satanism. And whether people think it's for money or not, it obviously includes that. Well, I want to encourage you that there's a really great section on that in the book called Painted Black. Matter of fact, there's a book called The Heart of Darkness and also one called Painted Black. Both of those are good reads for further, broader study. One written by an individual that might have been more inclined to be open to the underground development of Satanism. Painted Black, of course, gave a broad picture of the 90s. And I think it's still a great material to take a look at that will back up, literally back up, most of all that what we're saying in these sessions. Let me mention E on that page, self-styled groups. And so the self-styled are individuals that will take a hold of bits and pieces of Satanism or books and materials they've read or things that they may have learned if they did go to some other kind of meeting. Obviously, they're not the real Luciferian or real traditional Satanists to where they're in a real coven with a real priest and under, leadership type stuff and rules and whatever. This is, again, rogue Satanism, where individuals will take up the pieces and bits they want to use for themselves. Now, I met a fellow years ago by the name of Father Abaddon, and we engaged him at his home where he lived, and his girlfriend, where he was involved in, again, looking up everything he could to learn what he could, but he wanted to use the powers and the abilities and so forth for himself in many different ways. And he sought to get, more powerful. He really did. He wanted to get in deeper and broader. He wanted to learn a lot of things. And this person would have been dangerous too. But note, I want you to notice something. When we first engaged this individual, he had moved out of the apartment where he first was, and the reason we found him was he made his own flyers about starting a satanic worship group, and he put them out throughout a neighborhood near the University of Akron, and invited people to come and begin to participate. And he would have been, of course, the leader, guiding them, mainly kids and others that were not very versed at all, but just were interested. There would have been, well, under F we have sex and self-styled. A lot of sexual stuff that would be involved in all forms of Satanism for self-gratification, and self-styled Satanists and the ones that we've both seen, met, read about would be involved in, again, having people under them to be, to use them for sexual practices and sex rituals, and they'd really be into that part of it too. So there's going to be an involvement there. That's part of the descriptions, but characteristics will give you more information about individuals that don't join the Church of Satan. They don't join the Temple of Set. They're not ancient brotherhooders, bloodliners from Europe. They don't have the more serious and deep books, though they may want to acquire them. Now, they take themselves seriously. Others may not, and they can be dangerous. So, on page 15, characteristics of self-styled Satanists, here they are. They are knowledgeable. They do read. I mean, they will read books and materials. They'll go after Aleister Crowley's materials. They'll read intricate ritual materials. They'll learn how to, draw a ritual circle, and they'll learn all the principles. They'll learn, how to speak the Enochian languages, to invocations, and they'll read. So please understand, they'll be knowledgeable in their subject, and they will definitely get what they can. But they mostly are not like, I'm only devoted to Aleister Crowley, or I'm only devoted to John Dee, or I'm only devoted to, Anton LaVey style. They'll be eclectic in the sense that they'll use materials and fashion them and even redesign them and maybe not even be so precise when it comes to the doing of some rituals and things like that. Whereas when you do see, in the session on traditional Satanism, you're going to see the need for absolute precision, which gets closer and closer to the old European styles. Well, under B, they use whatever sources, as I've mentioned. See, they'll improvise, and they may not use all the ritual dates and be, a slave to the satanic calendar. They may do many things on their own, just again for their own experimentation, for their own experience, for sexual issues, and so on. So they may be different in that sense. Now, they will seek followers, as I've mentioned with Father Abaddon. So in England and Europe and the United States, you're going to see groups, smaller groups. Now you look at Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan. I mean, that's not only nationwide, but extends into other parts of the world. The same would be true of the Temple of Set and Michael Aquino, and we'll talk about him later also, being even more separatistic and more elitist. But these folks who are self-styled, they will look for followers, but they may only have a small group. They won't have 10 covens under them. They may not have a group that's nationwide. They may not, it may not look like a gang, but it may be a crew of individuals that get together to perform these things and use them primarily again for themselves, with the leader, the self-styled leader, being the head person. Now, when they experiment, they're going to experiment with rituals. They're going to experiment. Now, here's again where they can be dangerous in doing, conjuring demons and unleashing powers and learning things like chaos magic, and just seeing what they can do. They're not familiar. They're not deeply familiar with the powers, so they may do what they can do to experiment. And in a lot of ways, Aleister Crowley in the early days did a lot of experimentation also. And again, with him, it involved drugs and sex and all kinds of things. So I guess I would say most of the self-styled ones that I've dealt with probably have gone to and read Aleister Crowley. And I'll do a separate section on him because realize this is a guy that considers himself, the beast, the 666. He was very, very evil. In my own understanding and reading of him, I believe he's probably done everything there is to do. And not only did he get into pure Satanism, but the European Luciferian style, conjuring the powers. But Aleister Crowley had a lot of self-styled, self-ambition in his own development. And he left behind many, many books, materials that influence thousands of individuals. Now, again, many Christians don't even know the name Aleister Crowley. They might have heard it on Ozzy Osbourne's, rock album, Mr. Crowley. They may have realized that Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin purchased an old, well, kind of like castle. And a lot of those in England, those of you who are from England taking the course, you've probably heard much more of Crowley there, as he really had great influence in Europe, Germany, and so forth, and specifically England. But his influence, let me say it very frankly, is not good at all, because he was a decadent, evil, and the sad news is that he died pretty much a pauper, sickly, some say, out of his mind. If you let the demonic stuff in, there's only one way out, and Crowley never took that way out. A lot of experimentation. There could be experimentation, as well. I'll mention this under D, page, the next page, page 16. They will seek powers for themselves. They will seek powers to experience powers, to have powers come in, to grow in powers, to have mind control powers over their other followers, to use them, possibly, again, wherever they may be, at work, at school, in their neighborhood, wherever they may be. In their relationships, they may even use it. Under C, they're not part of a larger agenda, as we've seen. They're not like part of the worldwide, troops of Antichrist, Black Awakening type individuals. That does not mean in an overt spiritual way, and overall, that they would be a part of helping, just bring spiritual darkness into the world and bring effect. But they usually affect individuals, people around them, and they don't affect anything like on a national level. Now, the effect is real because it can bring harm into lives. And we've dealt with individuals. We've dealt with people who've been into relationships with self-styled priestesses, self-styled priests, satanic priests. And, they come out of those relationships and say, wow, this person I was dating was really bizarre. And there may have been demonic transfer from them. If they had demons and they were involved sexually, it's very possible to have demonic transfer. Well, they're going to seek, though, the self-styled Satanist. They're going to seek powers for themselves. Not being a part of a larger agenda, they'll want to use those powers on their enemies. So E is they will use their powers. If somebody bothers them or is giving them a hard time, or if they got a landlord they don't like, or a boss they don't like, or somebody who has stolen their girlfriend from them or something, they will go, no question about it, use their powers to seek to bring harm. Now, a lot of self-styled individuals will wear satanic symbols, satanic tattoos. They'll wear the stuff, and they'll be known. Real Luciferian undergrounders and ancient brotherhood types Satanists, they don't wear anything overtly, to where you can look and say, oh, they got a pentagram. So remember back when you took the first couple sessions, we gave you a lot of resources for signs and symbols. Now, they may know that. They may have it in their house. They may have a certain room in their house that they've dedicated, and they have an altar, and they have all the stuff there. They get their books and all the materials. They spent money as they developed in this area, and they may have satanic tattoos too that kind of define them and show their allegiance to the dark side. Now, listen, most self-styled are into the real powers part of it, into the real rituals part of it, and into the knowledge of dark things. So they truly do believe in the supernatural presence and power of dark spirits, and would like to have them and use them. Under G, they may fade away as they grow older. They may not stay there. They may not continue. They may not develop, enough followers. And at some point later on in life, they meet somebody, they give stuff up. And I've got people that I know that's like that. And I have friends that are Christians that at one time in their life, they became self-styled Satanists. They did put tattoos on. They did, get this book or that book, and they did do little rituals, and they did get with groups, and they did party sometimes when they did it, but they weren't precise. They weren't extremely knowledgeable. They didn't follow all the real deep underground rules, and so they only danced around the edges, though they probably did experience some real things, and they could talk about it. Now, under H, it says this: it is the only spirituality they really know. Now, again, for dabblers, which we're going to talk about in next session, they also are like those who had gone to church. They became angry at some time. Psycho-Satanists may have been made to go to church at some point or whatever. The self-styled individuals may have a background or whatever else. It's not a big thing to them. They got into self-styled Satanism as they were listening to music, as they were into certain drugs, as they began to read certain books, and as they began to think in terms of how they can use these powers, these things, for themselves and find some sense of purpose and some sense of identity for themselves. So it's really the only, deep spirituality they know. Now, they keep to themselves. They keep it themselves, but they can harm. They can harm. And I've already mentioned that about early on, the Black Pagan. He was a man that literally, when I met him the first time, he didn't have any of the stuff on. He was just a 1 minute meet, and you wouldn't have looked at him and said, "Oh, here's a Satanist." Now, he didn't have anything on. At other times he did. And later coming out, behind the scenes, he's reading Aleister Crowley, he's into the powers, and he went far enough into the powers. Again, if a self-styled Satanist reads about animal sacrifice, they may try it. If they read about sexual rituals, there's no question they're going to try it. Some may go as far as some forms of human ritual. And maybe even again ritual that would the little Jackie was ritualistically murdered, and everything that led that direction showed us that it was for them obtaining powers once again, for them to get the powers. So I want you to think in terms now of how to reach out to self-styled Satanists. Because it's going to be kind of different. Now, if you're going down to the coffee shop and you see somebody sitting there with a pentagram on, that may give you, they could be, again, a underground Satanist, a real Luciferian, a real Brotherhooder type, Black Flame, that will talk. They're not going to wear the symbols out. Maybe a traditional Satanist would, in a very refined way, but a self-styled might have overt tattoos and even rings and stuff with a pentagram or skulls heads, and things are going to be more overt. And then you're going to find dabblers, although have rock and roll t-shirts and things with pentagrams and that kind of stuff. and maybe again a little bit different. Self-styled. So you're not going to basically go to a coffee shop and see somebody if they have a pentagram, you know, walk up and say, "Hey, are you a self-styled? Are you a psycho-Satanist? Are you a dabbler?" They're not going to get into any of those the terminology we're using here or some of the other books and writers have used. They don't even want to be put in a category. Literally, there's that kind of a sense of elitism among all of them. They don't even want to be put into a category. They're in their own world. They're in their own sense of personal elitism. So the question is then, you know, how do you reach them? I want to say again, this is very important for a lot of the self-styled Satanists, traditional Satanists of worth. When I say this phrase, I want you to get my meaning, okay? Respect but challenge their sources. And when I say respect, I mean this. I mean question them. Ask them questions. Questions about what they believe. Questions about what they're into. Questions about, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So you might want to do that in the sense that you are learning from. Yeah, go ahead, go through real quick, okay? I pulled this out just real quick.
Sorry.
I won't be able to talk right now, though. So if you try out the concept of respect isn't saying that you respect who they are and what they are in the sense that you're really in, you know, you think that what they're doing is neat. What I'm saying is the idea of respect is in the sense of, hey, I see you're really into something spiritual, kind of like Paul did when he went into Athens, and he said to all those people that were into different idols and so forth, he says, "I see you're a very religious people," you know? And so someone like this, you say, "Man, I see you're really into it, you know, you're really studying, you know, what's some of the stuff you're reading? What, how'd you get there?" See, if you will show them a sense of respect in the sense of you want to understand them, and you want to, you know, and you do want to learn about what they've read. Now, this is what will give you some clues to what they're using. Again, if they say, "Oh, well, I've read John Dee and I've read Aleister Crowley," and, you know, they mention four or five other guys, and, "No, I'm not a part of any group," or, "I did go to this one Satan meeting, it was lame." Then pretty much you have a self-styled, and they may be a loner. They may have their own little group they go to or whatever, but they may be a loner too. But the thing is to challenge your sources in the sense of, you know, well, you know, how did you get, you know, into it, and what makes you think that you're real? You know, are you really connected to Satan? Here's questions that I've asked before: Have you ever met Satan? Has Satan ever showed up in any of your meetings? Do you think Satan knows your name? To where we get down to some of those questions that they might not have asked themselves. And they come down to begin, and that's what I find important about asking people the deep stuff like this, to ask them questions concerning their belief system. If you want to know what they believe, and again, when I teach apologetics, I say the same thing. You know, you could read three or four books, and that's good. You could take this course, and I think that's good. That's why we do them. But I think when you meet people that are definitely, clearly involved in some form of spirituality or dark spirituality like this, that if you ask them questions and they're willing to tell you things, you know, you're kind of helping to lead to logical conclusions. And you're gonna learn about what they have gotten into, and you're gonna question them about some of the stuff, and then you're gonna have to, you know, really eventually guide and say, "Well, what's wrong with Christ? You know, Jesus died on the cross. Do you believe he died for you?" And again, many Satanists, including self-styled ones, they're going to really be like, "Oh, you know, he's weak." They might, you know, self-styled Satanists are the kind of individuals that will read Nietzsche. Really, they're the kind of guys, again, like I said, knowledgeable. They're going to read the philosophers like that, you know, ultimately are going to look at Jesus as weak and he's nothing, and on and on and on. They just dismiss Jesus more than despise, whereas real real Luciferians, real Satanists, they're going to despise the Nazarene, and it'll be quite different. I think another thing is your if you ever deal with individuals that are self-styled, or as you've listened to this, if you think of a person at work, or maybe in your family, in your neighborhood, in your apartment complex, then now you're beginning to realize, wow, they're a self-styled Satanist. This fits them more than all the other categories. Well, again, the kind of issue is, in the book of 1 Peter, it says to, you know, always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that you have. And then it says, do it with gentleness and respect. That's why I'm saying that when I'm saying, you know, show respect, not that you're respecting that they're into something cool and good, but they're a spiritual seeker, and that you're willing to listen to them and acknowledge, wow, you're really into this, you really study, you really, you know a lot of things. Questions like, where do you think it's going to take you? What are you going to ultimately get out of this? Questions like, do you feel that it's evil? Do you feel that the demons may trick you in the end? Do you believe in a real heaven and a real hell? Have you ever really, on your own, even though you might be mad at the scriptures or don't want the scriptures, have you ever read them on your own to see what they say? And eventually getting them to realize, well, regardless of where you are, even if you're angry, even if you're, you know, mad, got a wall up, God still loves you. And it's not over yet. And your life's not over yet. Why miss God's purpose for your life by being so involved in this? Where's it going to take you? You know, what happens to you when you do die? You know, what happens to you in the future? So, along with that, supernatural encounters are great in the sense that you're praying for them. You know, ask God, visit them. Visit them with dreams, and visit them by the power of God, and show them things. And you can let them know, because if you just simply say, I'll pray for you, they may say back, well, I'll do some praying for you too, man. Meaning they might do a ritual or whatever. And if you antagonize them, they might want to do warfare, you know, spells against you. So when I say supernatural, I'm just saying, you know, I remember one guy that his dog died. Literally, this is a Satanist, his dog died. And I went by and I put my hand on his shoulder one time. He was in this bar where this rave club was going, and we were kind of infiltrating it, and I knew this guy separately, and I just went by him and said, hey man, I'm sorry about your dog and everything, and I'll keep you in my prayers. I just said that. I know what I meant. I'm praying for his salvation. Now, he didn't get angry, but it's also, the idea is, he didn't want anybody to hear me say that to him. But they'll know whether you care about them. Whether you care about them. Jesus loves them. He doesn't love what they're believing in. Jesus loves them. He doesn't love what they're doing, rituals. Jesus loves them. He doesn't love their morality. Jesus died for them the same way he died for you. So, you know, pressing the gospel. The greatest supernatural, you know, power encounter is the gospel. And if you ever sit there sometime and say, hey, has anybody ever explained the gospel? Have you ever heard it? Can I at least share with you the content of the gospel and let me tell you about it and see what they have to say? Well, could be very incredible. Could be very incredible if they begin. And again, you may see the Spirit of God beginning to open them up to listen. You may see that God's giving you a door to talk to them. Now, that's a possibility. Or like I said, under B on page 16, point 4 at the bottom, supernatural encounters may include, too, that if they really are into it, if they've conjured demons, if they acquired demons, and you're beginning to share Jesus with them, and you're praying, it's in some cases, it's possible that the demonic inside of them might want to get them out of there. Whenever I have that sense that they may have been involved with real demons, I'm praying inwardly as I'm talking to them. Inside, I'm praying, binding any and all demons from interrupting, taking them anywhere, doing anything to harm, and just literally asking the Lord to shut down any demonic workings. Now, it could be, like in one case, I had a couple workers with me, and we were standing in a parking lot, and I was challenging a young man, and he was talking about, he had a necklace thing on with a charged, like a jewel or gem, whatever, the demon that kept him protected. Inwardly, I'm praying, and twice his eyes rolled back in his head, began to flutter, and twice manifestation of the demonic presence almost occurred, and literally he ended everything and he just literally took off because he knew he couldn't contain it. He knew he couldn't hold it, and he knew that we, you know, and my thing was, if it occurs, if the demonic comes up all the way, we'll encounter it, we'll take authority over it, we'll kick it out, and that encounter may also demonstrate and show the person that the demons just want to take them to hell. The demons really are going to turn on them. The demons are not their friends, and they'll only be friends as long as they're yielded to the self-styled Satan, you know, rituals and whatever else they're doing. Another thing you do too in reaching out is on page 16, point under 4C, offer them reading material. You know, ask them if they were read. You know, there might be some good things like Case for the Creator by Lee Strobel or Mere Christianity. Things that will challenge them in their thinking. Francis Schaeffer's book, The God Who Is There. Or his second book called, He, referring to God, He Is There and He Is Not Silent. And that's a book that deals with metaphysics and epistemology and breaks it down in simple terms, kind of cutting through, weaving through philosophy and bringing out biblical revelation in a very good way. Matter of fact, Time Magazine, I think it was in the early 80s, they said they designated Francis Schaeffer as God's evangelist to the intellectuals. And if on the Shatter of the Darkness website or on some of the newsletters or under our section on theology, or just go to Amazon.com and put in The God Who Is There by Francis Schaeffer, and you'll begin to see all his literature. Those two books would be great to give to a self-styled Satanist who probably is not, you know, unless there's a major encounter, is not going to give his life to Christ right on the spot. But again, if you share the gospel, I don't care how many demons he has, if or powers or what he believes or how elitist he thinks he is, you share the gospel. That is the power of God into salvation. Never forget that. Never forget Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Not before the emperor of Rome, not before the priests and priestesses of the blood cults of Bacchus and so forth in Rome, not before the Roman soldiers. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the most amazing revelation of God in human history, fallen human history, that God loves us, God visited us. You know, things like this. Haven't you read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God? Do you understand what that, and you know, ask them if they understand what it means, and get them the message. And the last thing really is showing them their logical conclusions. A lot of times when you ask them questions, that brings them to their logical conclusions. You know, things like, well, can Satan give you, you know, everlasting life? What are the promises? Does Satan ever lie? How do you know? If you've never met Satan, how do you know? So a lot of things, I think, when we question them, it puts them into a corner. And that's a good thing. It really is. So this is simply just session six, self-styled or independent Satanists. And looking over some of the characteristics, I would say two of the things is just simply they are more alone, even if they have a few followers. They feel elitist because they, you know, read, studied, and got, you know, knowledge on their own, and they're knowledgeable. They're willing to read. They would consider themselves an educated person. But I think that the encounter is, again, God wants to, you know, still show them things. And the Spirit of God will convict them of their moral guilt, too. That will happen in the sharing of the gospel. So I believe that God can use all of us to reach out, and we got to be, you know, willing, and we got to trust the Spirit of God's going to guide. And I would just encourage you to remember that, you know, what Philip did by himself, literally, when you read the story in Acts chapter 8 about Simon, here's a new title for Simon. Simon, the self-styled Satanist. He was wanting to get everybody to come around and show him accolades. It doesn't show us that he was a part of any system, a part of any group. He literally seems to be a self-styled sorcerer, wooing the people, probably getting money and favors, having real power too. It's not that they don't, having real power. And yet when one individual goes into that town, not only, now realize that a self-styled Satanist, if they're, you know, seeking followers, or if they have people around them, or, you know, they may infect others with their thinking, belief systems, and or demons, and set other people on a terrible and very, very wrong path. So, like in Philip's case, Acts chapter 8, as he goes in, sharing the gospel, praying for the healing, you know, coming with fearless authority to strike any demon. And here's what I do a lot of times, even with self-styled and others, when I'm just praying, Lord, if there's anything demonic, cause manifestation. Cause it to come on up and let it, you know, let a power encounter occur so that they can see the demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ over the demon, so that Jesus will literally force the manifestation of demonic presence, and therefore the individual sees there is a greater power. The demon that they had, the power demon that they had, the demon that became their friend or whatever, they're going to notice is in total fear and terror of Jesus. And if you have the opportunity and the demon does manifest and you command it how it got in there, or you command it, you know, to say, you know, what are they really planning with this person? Where I did that one time, the demon said to take them to blankety blank hell. And that's when the person wanted me to get the demon out. So I'm saying again, be ready for spiritual warfare. Don't ever be afraid. Realize that Jesus Christ stands in the midst. And realize Luke 10 again. Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, and so forth, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. And he said it in the context where he sent simple disciples like you and me. He sent simple individuals out, commissioning them to preach the gospel of the kingdom, pray for the healing of people, and to cast out any demons wherever they found them. And that's exactly what Philip did when he went into Samaria. And so in your town, you may have Mr. Self-Styled as Satanist or Mrs. Priestess or whatever, and they may be drawing attention to themselves, and God will use you to win the people to Christ around that individual. And as they even see, like Simon in Acts chapter 8 saw the power of God evident, he wanted it. He didn't understand it. He was still power hungry. He wanted to buy it. See, the reason in Acts chapter 8, when you read this, when he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit power. And obviously, Peter just really railed on him about that issue. The reason is, the custom was for among occultists is that you buy and sell scrolls, buy and sell rituals that draw powers. Occultism can be bought and sold. And Peter's reaction was, are you dare going to lower God the Holy Spirit into occultic, you know, into the occultic, you know, flea market? You cannot treat the Holy Spirit as a demon spirit that you can sell off with ritual, you know, rituals and ritual books and so forth. You just cannot do this. So, the bottom line was heavy word came down on Simon for just first of all wanting the power and wanting to purchase it as he would purchase any other demonically oriented powers. The gift of the Holy Spirit is free. He is a gift to all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they need to understand. They need to understand and ask them sometimes. I think another good question: what's the difference between the demon spirits that you know and God the Holy Spirit? See, they will have no experience with God the Holy Spirit, the infinite Spirit of God who dwells in you. Well, anyway, Jesus gave you authority. You and I are called to preach the good news, which is this vast, it's the power of God unto salvation, and then to pray for people's physical needs for healings and so forth, and bless people. And then, in any case, in every case, wherever there's demonic stuff, to unleash. The reason Jesus gave the authority is so that we would use it. Can I say it one more time? Most Christians don't even know they have the authority. And even some that finally say, okay, I acknowledge you have the authority, they just wouldn't really want to use it. And I'm saying in a day in which the ramping up is so big and broad and wide that we need to use it. Why let any young person or older person getting more and more into the demonic side, be led down that left-hand path to deeper and I mean, Aleister Crowley, in the end, was a demon-infested, morally decadent, going somewhat crazed, pauper, just left out there, kind of like the Judas principle, the very end. He's just left out there after being used. And I wonder, if intervention in a really good way could have occurred early on. We'll always wonder that. And we don't know. Nevertheless, the gospel still is the power of God. Doesn't make any difference. When I even wrote to Anton LaVey, and I'll tell you about that in that session we deal with the Church of Satan. And I wrote to probably 25 of their leaders, and I'll tell you some of the responses. Well, anyway, the Lord bless you and make you strong and lead you and guide you. And take great, courage and excitement that God may lead you to some self-styled, usually male, self-styled Satanist, sometimes female in the sense of a priestess, who will use their powers for seduction and power and protection. But may God lead you to witness and share the love, the grace, the power of the Lord Jesus. So until the next session, may the Lord Jesus give you great courage and strength. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shadowthedarkness.net. Don't forget, every Sunday night, Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio, you're still welcome to send in questions that I can answer live on the air. Or if you have a personal email question you want to send to me, I'll try to answer that for you too. Hey, God bless you.